Chapter 8. A German Luftwaffe lieutenant greeted me in one of Valkyrie's docking bays. His name tag read Schmidt. My dropship was the last to launch from Copernicus and the last to arrive in one of the Valkyrie's docking bays.
Your sons are safe, Schmidt assured me. We have them in guest quarters.
Thanks. Are we moving?
Best to get strapped in, sir.
He gestured to the door to the pilot ready room.
The boosters have been upgraded since you were in command.
Right. I jogged behind him through the doorway, which slid closed right behind the two dropship pilots. Reed, this is Bishop. We're strapped in. Punch it. The boosters roared. Not as loud as before, but with a deeper rumble. The booster upgrades had exchanged sound for fury. They pushed us hard, and despite a field partially compensating for the acceleration, it felt like a large dog was sitting on my chest. Then another dog joined the first one.
Skippy, I grunted. Will we get out of here in time?
I don't know. His can in the foam cradle on my lap glowed faintly orange as his avatar stood beside it. Frankly, I very much doubt it. The Sentinel has already lost containment. I'm doing everything I can to slow the flow of time between layers, but it's not enough. Fireball, can we jump?
Negative, sir, she replied, without needing to check whether that was possible, because of course she would have jumped us away if she could have.
We're still within the distortion envelope.
It's like bogus, General Dude, Bilby drawled. I've been testing with the jump drive, and there is no way to form a coherent field here. Sorry. ETA to the edge of the distortion is 8 minutes.
7 agonizing minutes. Keep trying, and thank you.
I don't want to, like, harsh your buzz, but I'm already detecting something nasty leaking through from the space-time rip behind us. Temperature there is above 9 billion degrees Kelvin. We do not want to be here when that rip expands.
Yeah. Damn it. The ships of the Third Fleet had turned and burned on my order and had jumped away 2 minutes ago. Skippy didn't know how wide of an area the Sentinel explosion would cover, other than big, so Admiral Sousa had opted to be safe and performed a jump of 4 light weeks. We would follow and rendezvous with him, if we survived that long. We weren't going to.
300 billion degrees, Bilby warned. The aft end of the ship is getting baked. General, I need to shut down the engines. They are overheating way above the critical level.
Maintain full thrust, I grunted. Reed, I asked, since Valkyrie was her ship. You concur?
How the ship explodes doesn't make much difference, she agreed. Skippy, can you buy us enough time?
No way. I have done all I can. Sorry. There is a limit to how much even I can hack the laws of physics.
Hack the laws of physics, I muttered to myself.
That is what I said, Joe, he sniffed. Don't repeat everything I...
This spatial distortion. Can you flatten space-time so we can jump away?
No, not this time. The distortion effect is too powerful, and it extends through a vast area of space.
Bilby interrupted.
Hey, man, let me ponder that for a while, okay?
I looked at Skippy. He held up his hands in an I-have-no-idea gesture.
Sure, just don't take too long to...
Wowza! That was, like, ponderous, you know?
All I need is an extra flat area 2.7 kilometers across.
Skippy, can you do that? I asked.
That might be possible.
Skippy's can glowed a light blue. I took that as a good sign.
I said might.
Do it. Joe, first I need to explain. How will I understand any of this science-y blah, blah, blah?
Well, no.
Then do it. It is risky, dum-dum, he snapped. More risky than certain death?
I suppose that is a very good point. You meat sacks should brace yourselves. Even if this works, it will be an epically bad jump.
Like, legendary, Bilby agreed with enthusiasm.
Certain death isn't always such a bad option. In some cases, I recommend it. Like after that jump, or whatever it was. If you've seen the movie Galaxy Quest, there's a scene where the transporter machine beams up a pig and the thing arrives with its insides on the outside, then it explodes. The good news was I did not explode. That I remember. It sure felt like I turned inside out, exploded, and got put back together by someone who later noticed a few parts were left on the workbench. The other good news was I had been through something like that before and was able to power through. To my credit, there was no barfing involved. No barfing by me. The other 3 people in the pilot's ready room were not so lucky.
Skippy, I took deep breaths through my mouth. Ship status? It is in one piece, mostly. We lost some hull plating, a stealth field generator, an engine pod, other minor stuff. Valkyrie will not be going anywhere for a while. My children? I coughed, spitting up something nasty. Your boys are fine. Also, I told them that you are okay, but you're going to be busy for a while. Human children are much more resilient than you sad adults. That's great. It ain't the years, it's the mileage. You keep saying that, but give me a minute. Guys, I unstrapped, standing up on shaky legs. I'm going to the bridge. You okay here? The three of them gave me shaky waves, nodding their heads slowly. Out in the passageway, I ran a hand along the bulkhead to steady myself, focusing on putting one foot in front of the other. The passageway was empty. That was no surprise, as the crew had all been strapped in before the boosters engaged. Skippy, next question. Where are we?
That is a bit of a problem. We only managed to jump 7 light hours. Before you complain about that, it is a freaking miracle the ship survived at all, so I wasn't going to complain.
You weren't? We are alive, thanks to your continued extreme awesomeness. Oh, well, that is true. Joe, it's good to be back with you. Most meat sacks don't appreciate how difficult it is for me to do what I do. I appreciate it. Are we safe? Dogzilla's explosion can't reach us here?
It can't reach us here yet. After the initial eruption into local space-time, the wavefront will be expanding at the speed of light. My screwing with the flow of time between layers of space-time delayed the effect there, until we jumped away and I stopped interfering with the natural interaction between layers.
I'm no expert, but that doesn't sound good.
It is all kinds of bad, Joe.
Without getting into physics, you won't understand. My actions compress the effect. The wavefront will be much more energetic, but shorter in duration. To you, it would be over in the blink of an eye.
The wavefront is thin, then?
I imagined the explosion being a bubble that expanded outward.
Yes, exactly. Not so bad, then.
Dude, how could you possibly have gotten dumber over the years?
We had twin babies. Lack of sleep over an extended time will do that to you. Give me a break, will you?
My point is, the wavefront is like a brick wall. Anything it touches within about a quarter light year is going to get splattered.
Good thing there's no inhabited star system nearby.
No, but there is a rogue planet that will have a very bad day.
We have, what, a bit less than 7 hours before the wavefront gets here?
More like less than 4 hours. The emergent zone would have been enormous, so the wavefront is ahead of where it should be.
Gotcha. If Reed hasn't already done it, contact the Third Fleet and request a star carrier. We need to hitch a ride out of here.
She has not done that.
Then, like I said, Colonel Reed has not requested assistance because we can't.
She already asked me whether Valkyrie's comm node is still connected to the Third Fleet, and the answer is no.
Shit.
Unlike your blah blah blah, she focused on doing something useful after making sure her ship and crew didn't require anything from her.
She is an excellent captain, I said, mentally kicking myself. Skippy was right. I should have asked that question.
The jump broke our comm node?
The jump, which could barely be called a jump, broke the node's connection to the node aboard the Third Fleet flagship. Both nodes should be fine if we can reestablish the connection, which we can't do from here, obviously.
Crap.
Without the FTL capability of an Elder comm node, we had to rely on slow speed-of-light communications, or on Valkyrie's jump drive.
How soon can we jump?
How soon can you get a full set of spare parts delivered?
Shit. That bad?
You have no idea. The coils are totally dorked up. Valkyrie uses vital jump coils, not the fragile crystal coils that...
Yes,
and each of those virtual coils are generated from the kernel of a physical object that is a crystal. All of those crystals are fractured. Listen, Knucklehead, the only way I could get us out of here was to perform a series of very short, overlapping jumps. Doing that burned out all the coils we have, and we still traveled only 7 light hours.
What about the backup coils? The ones that were in storage, not connected to the drive mechanism?
All of those also have microfractures. They vibrated in sympathy with the active coils because the resonance was so powerful. That resonance effect was what you felt. If we try to plug those backup coils into the drive, they will go boom!
Let's not do that.
You think?
Well, shit.
We have to wait until the Third Fleet finds us?
We are a tiny speck in the darkness out here. Not so much. Since we emerged, I have been broadcasting a distress call. By the end of 4 hours, that distress call will be detectable within a bubble 8 light hours in diameter. Any ship jumping into that bubble will find us. Will they find us in time, before the wavefront gets here? That, he took off his ginormous hat and rubbed his shiny dome, is a good question. Skippy was correct. My boys were fine. To them, the wonky jump was nothing but exciting, even if they both barfed all over the floor of their guest quarters. Renee had a burst blood vessel in one eye. It looked a lot worse than it was.
Daddy, what happened?
Jeremy asked me with the serious expression of a staff officer who would have to explain some screw-up to his commanding officer. We're still analyzing that, I said.
Daddy doesn't know,
Renee told his brother, as if confirming something they had discussed. It's too early to say for certain. I felt I needed to defend myself and the crew of the good ship Valkyrie.
How are you going to fix it? Renee asked. You are going to fix it, right, Daddy? Mommy says you can fix anything, Jeremy added.
Whoa. Margaret had never said that to me. It's complicated. Listen, I need you to stay here, okay? The crew is busy. I was about to say getting the ship put back together. Preparing for our next jump, so you need to stay out of their way.
We can jump?
Jeremy looked at me.
Uncle Skippy said the ship can't jump. It's busted.
I bit my lip.
He told you that? When? A couple minutes before you got here. I asked him,
Renee insisted.
No, you didn't.
Jeremy shoved his brother. Boys, I grabbed their shoulders, separating them. No fighting. We have enough problems to deal with. Jeremy glared at his brother, but backed away.
How are you going to fix the jump drive? Yeah, Dad. How?
Renee couldn't let Jeremy get the last word. We're considering options. Renee looked at Jeremy.
He doesn't know.
That's not true, I lied.
That's okay, Dad.
Renee held my hand and squeezed it.
Mommy told us the Merry Band of Pirates did lots of stuff without a plan. That's SOP.
Jeremy nodded. First, I needed to have a talk with my wife when we got back to Jaguar. Assuming, you know, we lived long enough to do that. Second, I did not know whether to be proud or disturbed that my 7-year-old son knew the acronym for Standard Operating Procedure. As children of military parents, I suppose it's inevitable they would pick up acronyms and slang.
Mommy said,
Renee's eyes were downcast,
that doesn't mean we don't have to make a plan for when we need one.
That's right, I agreed, relieved.
How come you don't?
Your mother exaggerated. I have to go now.
To save the world?
Jeremy asked.
Again?
Renee asked, because he needed to outdo his brother. Right now I'm going to see if I can save the coffee machine in the galley. Petty Officer Giacomo here, I waved to the guy standing in the doorway, is going to stay with you for a while, okay? Don't give him any trouble. Out in the passageway, I turned toward the galley when Bilby called me. Hey, General Dude, we need to talk. Okay. I stopped and leaned back against a bulkhead. About what? That jump? It was gnarly. You warned us that would happen, and you did the best you could.
That's the problem, man. I did the best I could. I can't say that about Skippy.
Huh?
His space-time flattening game was weak, dude. Halfway through the jump, he, like, lost control of whatever he was doing. Had to start over. We came very close to losing the ship.
Shit. Did he forget what he was doing again?
No, he knew what he was supposed to be doing. It was like he just couldn't do it.
Did he say anything to you?
Nah, no way. When he's having trouble, the only person he talks to is you. Did he talk with you about it?
This is the first I've heard of it.
This is a problem.
Nah, he's probably just out of practice, right? Has he flattened space-time with you recently?
Nah, he has a standard set of party tricks to impress biologicals. The
biologicals?
That's better than saying meat sacks, you know?
Sure. What do you mean by party tricks?
Like when we visit a planet on his victory tour, he does stuff like hacking into the SD network, or he makes every phone, video display, and hologram on that world play one of his operas. The locals usually hate it.
The Torgs, man, they really hated it. They have, like, no sense of humor, you know?
I've heard that.
Anywho, I wanted you to know that jump was way worse than it should have been.
Before today, when did Skippy last use his powers to flatten space-time?
Oh, wow, man, that was like before you guys dropped in on the elders for tea. So, I breathed a sigh of relief. He's probably just out of practice. Okay, thanks for letting me know.
Someone had already set up the coffee machine, which had not been damaged, except that when I pushed the button to get a regular cup of coffee, I got a cappuccino, with a middle finger drawn into the foam on top. It's good to see that while we faced our doom, Skippy still had a sense of humor.
Sorry about the slight delay in launching the specials, Reed told me as she came into the galley. She looked tired, but somehow confident and in command, or she was exceptionally good at faking it. Pouring a cup of coffee for her, I added cream and one spoonful of sugar.
It takes time, I understand.
That's not it, she said with a sour look, then took a sip of the coffee. This is perfect, thank you. The delay was a,
she rolled her eyes,
union rules issue.
Union rules? I got all that ironed out before I transferred command. Did something change? She shook her head.
The issue was interpretation of the rules. Nuclear warheads are considered strategic weapons. Union rules state that tactical missiles can't handle strategic jobs. It's a division of crafts or something like that.
Oh, for
like how a machinist can't change a light bulb because this is an electrician's job.
You had to assign the warheads to strategic missiles?
That would have been simple, she snorted. No, the delay was due to a squabble within the union. The tactical missiles argued that although the specials are technically strategic weapons, in this case they were being used in a tactical mission. The two sides agreed to submit the issue to arbitration and
she shrugged again. Did that solve the problem?
Bilby acted as arbiter, so he worked out a deal in AI time. The whole dispute was resolved in 3 seconds.
The delay was longer than three.
Then, she pantomimed, shooting herself in the head, the missiles had to decide on a playlist of theme music for the attack.
Yes, I know I shouldn't have laughed. I couldn't help myself. Do you regret taking command of the ship?
Sir,
she took a big gulp of coffee.
I am regretting so much right now.
We sat at a table in the corner, slowly sipping coffee. There was a tray of sandwiches on the galley counter. None of us felt like eating. Except the crew noticed we weren't eating, so they weren't eating. Getting up, I got 2 sandwiches and gave one to Reed.
Eat it with a smile, I advised. People eat when they have hope there will be a tomorrow. That made her smile.
If this is my last meal, I'd rather have ice cream.
Yeah. I bit into a tasteless turkey and cheese.
The sandwich was probably fine. My taste buds were still recovering from the bad jump.
We have, I glanced at my phone, trying not to be obvious about it, less than 2 hours, including time for Valkyrie to get latched onto a star carrier to jump away from here.
Admiral Sousa must have deployed his ships for a search and rescue by now.
That is a big search area.
Sousa's people must have noticed their comm node lost connection to ours.
Lowering my voice to barely above a whisper, I finished chewing another bite of sandwich.
When I asked Skippy about that, he told me the 3rd Fleet engineers will assume the loss of connection most likely meant Valkyrie was destroyed. Her eyebrows flew up.
They think we're dead?
She kept her voice to a whisper.
They won't be conducting a search?
Come on, Colonel, you know the Navy. They won't give up, not that easily. At the very least, they'll search for Skippy.
That, she looked at her sandwich and pushed it away, would be more easily done behind the wavefront. Sousa could wait for the blast wave to pass through an area, then jump into the empty space and ping for Skippy. The debris trail from Valkyrie would light up Skippy's location like a radioactive floodlight.
That, I admitted, is what I would do.
Shit.
She drank coffee, then pushed that away.
Sir, I am open to suggestions.
We need some type of FTL. Fix the comm node or fix the jump drive.
That prompted her to shake her head.
Bilby said both are no-go. Comm nodes must be paired over a speed of light connection before they can use their FTL capability. The connection to our comm node is broken. No way to fix it without being near the 3rd Fleet flagship. The jump drive then. Again, she sighed. We're out of options. Bilby worked with Skippy to inspect the coil kernel crystals that were in storage. Five of them might survive initiating a jump wormhole, but they would immediately shatter. Five coils are not enough to jump a beast like Valkyrie. Before you ask, sir, five coils aren't enough to jump a DeLorean dropship. Those coils can't even jump a portable capacitor to power themselves. What we have aboard can't do anything useful. That we know of right now. Technically true. Does it matter? We are the Merry Band of Pirates. She just looked sad. Sad for me. We used to be pirates, sir. Task Force Black stood down when you left command. She was wrong about that, but by the time I left Valkyrie, she was a squadron leader on Earth. The special mission group had actually been deactivated 6 months before I transferred command to Valkyrie. With no threats at the Save the Galaxy level, UNEF Command had decided there was no need for a cowboy making his own decisions. They were probably right about that, even if it stung me at the time. Really, back then, I was tired of doing cowboy stuff. Back then, I was just tired. Worn out. The pirates had spent years flying around the galaxy stamping out fires in an effort that felt increasingly pointless. She gave me a long moment to process what she'd said. When I didn't respond, she added, "We haven't done any crazy shit in a long time, sir. Valkyrie has been operating a Skippy's tour bus." The sides of her mouth turned down. "Which is an honor and a privilege," I hastened to say. "Of course. I hate to say it," she shrugged. "But we haven't needed to be clever in a long time. It's like we've lost the skill." "What about you?"
Same. Being a garrison commander means you spend all day worrying about other people being too clever.
Or too stupid.
Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. Before I continued, I made sure no one could hear us. Don't know what to do.
You've bailed us out of worse jams than this, sir.
Before I had time. Like, I would go do some mindless thing in the gym and something would pop into my head. After a couple days. Not an hour.
1 hour is about all we have, she agreed. If a star carrier jumped in right now, it would take almost an hour to maneuver our two ships into position for latching. Even if a miracle occurs, we might not be able to save Valkyrie.
Take the crew off in dropships?
That's my plan. We wait 40 minutes, then get everyone into dropships.
In case a miracle happens and a rescue ship arrives.
If the Almighty brings us a miracle, we would be ungrateful to not be ready.
Standing up, she smoothed out her uniform top. I'll take care of your cup and sandwich, I volunteered. Not knowing there was anything else I could do, that would be useful. Hell, a brick wall of radiation was racing toward us at the speed of light, and I was concerned about leaving trash on a galley table. Yes, the Army had drilled that into my head. There was no excuse for sloppiness. Back to the bridge, I asked.
I can at least look like I'm in control of the situation.
What will you do, sir? Me? Until she asked, I hadn't thought about it. The only thing I can do in a situation like this.
What's that?
Hit the gym. With no time and no need to change out of my uniform into gym clothes, I skipped the weights, treadmills, exercise bikes, and anything else that would make me sweat. The basketball court was empty. The entire gym was empty. The crew actually was busy fixing the ship as best they could, whether it mattered or not. At first, I played horse against myself, seeing if I could duplicate a tricky shot. Then that was taking too much of my thinking power, so I settled for mindlessly practicing free throws. One after the other, using the exact same motion each time. Bounce the ball twice, thumbs lined up on the seams, flex my knees, push, up and in. 17 throws in a row went in. I was in the zone at a time when it didn't matter. Bounce the ball twice, hold it, stand there, look up at the basket. What was the point? There was no point. Shooting a ball into a hoop would not accomplish any. The hoop. I stared at it. Turning around, I looked at the hoop at the other end of the court. Round, flat discs, like the event horizons of a wormhole. A jump wormhole. With a loud whoop, I used one hand to throw the ball, arcing it toward the other basket. It missed, bouncing off the backboard. Skippy! His avatar appeared wearing a basketball uniform. He looked even more ridiculous than usual, if that was possible.
Joe, what were you thinking? You should stick to free throws. At least there, you
shut up and work with me here for a minute.
You only have a few minutes before Colonel Reed sends everyone to dropships.
Maybe not. We have 5 jump coil colonels that are capable of forming a wormhole?
No, we do not.
Do you listen at all?
I heard just fine. Apparently, that is not true. Those coil colonels are a fantasy, Joe. They can't do anything.
That is not true.
They can't do anything useful.
Again, you are wrong. Would you like to change your answer?
Dude, as if.
Those 5 coils can't jump a starship.
Even if they were in perfect condition, that is true.
As they are, they can't even jump their own mass.
If you know that fact, how can you...
I'm not trying to jump the ship, Skippy. I'm trying to solve the problem.
Okay. Do I need to explain the problem to you again?
The problem is the 3rd Fleet doesn't know where we are.
Well, duh. That is one of our problems.
No, that is the problem. If the 3rd Fleet knew our location, that would solve our problem. Get it?
Okay, yes, he sighed, disgusted.
Technically, so we need to provide our location to the fleet.
Yes, which we can't do. So, again, that is wrong.
Wow, have you not learned anything from working with me over the years?
Yes, he groaned.
Based on that stupid grin on your face, I have learned that the next thing out of your mouth will make me hate you more than I thought possible.
Think of this, Skippy. Those 5 coils can't complete a successful jump, but they can initiate one.
Yes? That would accomplish what, exactly?
You know the location of the Rio Grande?
Of course. I can predict the location of the 3rd Fleet flagship within 12 meters, assuming that ship did not maneuver after the jump.
They wouldn't do that. It's against protocol to change position when you're waiting for a missing ship to jump into your formation.
Question, please. Can you program a jump to emerge close to the Rio Grande?
Dude, please. Bilby has been keeping that jump option continuously updated. We just can't do it.
So, we don't have to. To be clear, we do not need Valkyrie or any other physical object to jump anywhere. All we need is for the far end of a jump wormhole's event horizon to emerge near the 3rd Fleet, and for that wormhole to be highly energetic before it quickly collapses.
Holy shit, Joe.
Right? You see what I mean?
A jump wormhole will appear in the vicinity of the Rio Grande and immediately collapse in a wild burst of gamma rays as the coil kernels here shatter.
Yeah? Because that wormhole will be so loud, the 3rd Fleet should have no problem tracing the other end of the wormhole back to us.
Whoa. I was right.
No, you were not.
Yes, I was. I do hate you more than I thought possible.
I feel just awful about that.
You realize there is a small but non-zero possibility that a feedback effect could cause the coils here to overload and go boom.
Yeah, I figured something like that. Compared to the odds of a 3rd Fleet ship just happening to stumble across our position, what are our chances?
I can give you a solid gold schmaybe that we should try this crazy scheme.
Solid gold?
I can't ask for more than that.
Can you get the coils ready?
Working on it.
How long until we can, you know, not jump?
About 11 minutes.
That surprised me.
Don't you have to get those kernels installed into...
They are installed, numbskull. We installed them in the coil banks. That's how we tested them.
Duh.
Okay. Then do your thing.
I am doing it.
His avatar blinked out.
Colonel Reed, I called. Prep the ship for jump.
Where are we going, sir?
Nowhere.
Understood,
she acknowledged with a sigh.
You're not going to ask what we're doing?
I know you, sir. Do I want to know what you have planned?
Probably not.